Let's pray together. God, indeed, what a great song about how much we love you, we thank you, and that we need you. God, we need you for every element and every aspect of life. We need you in the sense of just the air that we breathe, and the blood that flows through our bodies. God, we need you. And God, we need you for the strength that you provide for us to live day to day, not just the physical strength, but the spiritual strength. It's only by your hands, it's only by your might, it's only by your will that we have the ability to make it through life and to have eternal life. So God, I pray that as we get ready to get into your word today, that you let it come alive in us. Let it not only challenge us, but comfort us, God, because we need to know about your strength. We need to know how that when the struggles of life come, that when temptations of life come, when the blessings of life come, how we can handle them. How we can handle them in your grace. And others might see it and know it as well. So God, speak to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name and amen. You know, in the early days of World War II, as Hitler was the term was blitzing across Europe and around the world, there was very little resistance because of the advanced weaponry that the armies that he was leading had amassed. And so much so, in some cases, it seemed like it was this way, that in some places they were fighting tanks and artillery guns and that sort of thing with spears and bows and rocks. And so they were really no match for what was coming. They were ill-prepared for the battle that they were fighting. Unfortunately, that marks the same way that many Christians face life today. We are not prepared well enough to face the battles that we're fighting. There are many, unfortunately, believe they don't even know that there's a war waging in some cases, because we tend to get so caught up in our own little world. We tend to see things in life that I've got Christ and I've got God and that's all I need, but we forget we have to live day to day. We, even today, are feeling the effects of this war that's raging in our nation. We're not fighting a cultural war, by the way. We're not fighting a racial war, by the way. We're not even fighting a political war, as many think. No, we're fighting a spiritual battle that's going on in our life of our nation now. And the only way that it's going to be won, the only way it's going to have any powerful effect to see any real change, is through the Son of God, Jesus. He is the answer. He is the hope. It's through His grace, it's through His death on the cross and the resurrection, that we're going to find any hope of any semblance of peace in life and how to live. It's because of Christ that comes. Now, Christians, we should know, whether we want to face it or not, we are in a spiritual battle. You know what might be even more distressing than some not even knowing is that we know that we're in a spiritual battle. We may think that we're fighting a spiritual battle, but we're not fighting with the weaponry that God gave us to fight with. We're trying to fight it in the wrong realms. We're trying to fight it with the wrong people. We tend to think sometimes each other is the enemy. We're not the enemy. Satan's the enemy. We're fighting a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. You know, one of the things that I think in which Satan has begun to win this battle is that many believers today don't really care that much that people are dying and going to hell. Now, nobody raise your hands. But when's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody that did not know Jesus? Yesterday, last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? When's the last time you prayed by name for someone who didn't know Jesus? See, by and large, most, and again, statistics across denominational lines bear this out. We are seeing fewer and fewer people come to Christ. It's because fewer and fewer people are telling people about Jesus. It's because we really don't care. We're more concerned about how grace is given to me. We're more concerned how the church meets my needs and whether or not we're taking care of the people that we think we need to take care of. And we're not making disciples. So Satan's winning the battle. He's got us focused on ourselves when we need to be focusing upon God. You know, in a great many ways, we are never told to go on the offensive, even with Satan. We're told to stand firm, not to have to fight him. God's already fought him. God's going to fight him. The battle's won through Christ. We don't need to. The only place, in some sense, that we go on the offensive is when we take the grace of God. We live it out of our lives, and we share it with someone else, and they in turn experience the grace of God. That's the offensive, or when we go on the offense with the God, with the gospel. Find your Bibles this morning. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. If you're using one of the Bibles on the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 153. That's in the second part of the book, so you're going to be toward the back part and the New Testament. Page 153, and there you should find Ephesians 6, and you can find verse 10. Now, we're narrowing the conclusion. We're moving toward the conclusion of this letter. We're going to be in this conclusion for several weeks. We're going to kind of look through this spiritual battle and the armor that we're giving to help. After grace has been written about, and the grace that changes us, after writing about grace that's for all, after writing about the grace that comes and the grace gift that comes to us is the Holy Spirit, now our attention has been turned to the power, the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that assists us to live when the days are evil. And the days are evil. It's a grace that gives us the ability to withstand or stand up under the attacks from the enemy of Satan. So let's read. Ephesians chapter 6, pick up in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of the God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So we're told to put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, so that we can stand and stand firm against the schemes of the devil, his battle plan, this great enemy. Now today we're going to look at the spiritual battle. Over the next few weeks, we're going to take each part of this spiritual armor and see how we're to use it to help us to withstand or to hold up under the advances that Satan attacks at us. Today we're going to talk about the spiritual battle, its nature, and its defense. This weaponry that was used by Satan and how we can stand against it. As we proceed, and you'll see this, as we proceed with each piece of the spiritual armor, what God has provided for us is precisely what is needed to defend against the schemes, the methods Satan's going to use. So God has designed this the armament for us to help us to withstand what Satan's going to throw at us. Thus we'll also know what Satan's going to do to plot our downfall. In some great way as well, it really doesn't matter at this point whether you're a believer or not a believer, because Satan's out to get us both. Satan's looking to bring the demise and harm and hurt and lead everyone he can away from God. So we all have to do what we're going to read through this. And it's very apparent, and it is a great must, particularly for those who are believers. So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we form a formidable defense against these spiritual attacks? Well, verse 10 tells us the first step in this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So he says, be prepared in the strength of the Lord. Catch that? Be prepared in the strength of the Lord. This is the first of two commandments that we read in these three or four verses here. God is the only source of our strength. I think that would stand to reason. Well, why does that stand to reason? Well, again, we have physical life only because of God. He's the creator of all it is and all it ever will be. We certainly have spiritual life because of God. It's because of the effects of what He has done through Christ, His grace gift to us through Christ, through His death and resurrection, that we have spiritual life and that we can have eternal life that He has promised to us. So everything comes from us by God. So it's going to be through His strength and His strength alone that we're going to find hope and help in the spiritual battle. Now, it really doesn't take long for a believer to understand this or discover that we're not on a playground, but we're on a battleground. The spiritual life that we live and we face day to day, it's a constant thing. You have to be about your wits every day, every moment, every day. In a great way, we fight three battles. We fight a battle with the world systems that are set up that are opposing God. It's trying to get us to live different than the way God designed life and how God has said life works best under these realms. When the world system tries to pull us away from that, that's a battle that we face. We fight an internal battle because it's oftentimes our desires, and we'll get into this later. It's our desires, it's our leanings, it's our yearnings that can get us into trouble and that temptations comes. And then the third battle, Satan uses all these things and more to lead us away from following God. He doesn't want us to listen to God. He doesn't want to hear God. He doesn't want us to follow Him. And again, our battlement is not human. Our foe is not human. Our foe is spiritual. It's Satan. Satan's name, his word, the word means adversary. That should give us some insight to the type of battle that we're facing or type of individual that we're facing. And notice his helpers in verse 12. For you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but you rulers against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We can't avoid this. It's here. It's something we cannot hide from. We have to face it and learn how to stand strong. So Satan's going to attack true believers. He's going to attack weak believers. He's going to attack believers who have become apathetic to the cause of Christ. Weak believers that fall easy prey to disrupting the church. Again, when we get our attention off of our mission, off of our calling, and we focus upon ourselves, then my preferences become more important, my opinions become more important than sharing grace with someone else because I'm worried about me, and that just disrupts life in the church. Too often, we fight the wrong battle. We want to fight one another, not the enemy. And when we do this, we waste time, we waste our energy, we waste our monies, all the while the watching world sees what's taking place and they're turned off and they don't want anything to do with believers. They're so because we're so consumed with ourselves. And the devil begins to win and he begins to gain control of people's lives and he leads them away from God and he even leads believers to oppose the work of God. I don't know how many times I've heard over the last few years that people talk about they're more concerned with the grace that they get and the more the grace that we show within the life of believers than it is the grace that we share in our communities. No wonder our communities and our nation is facing the struggles it's facing because we're not sharing the grace with them who need it. We want to keep it and hoard it to ourselves. We who are believers have to stand strong in the Lord. We must seek to see the King of Kings and know that everything, and everything I mean everything, depends upon us solely depending upon God through His Son Jesus, His only Son that gave His life so that we can live. That's the only way we have life. It's a strength. It's His strength. It's His armor. Let me share with you three ways fairly quickly this morning about how we can be prepared in the strength of the Lord. Right? Three things that we can do to be prepared in the strength of the Lord. First of all, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare our minds. Now, this is more than knowledge. We need the strength of God. So it's more than just a knowledge about God. It's about who God is. We find it in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Spirit of God tells us, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Did you catch that? Presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice is how we worship God. Now, that doesn't happen just at church. He goes on in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what the perfect will and understanding of God is. So if we want to understand who God is and know what He is, we got to renew our mind to who God is. So we got to renew the mind. Keep our mind to the authority and to the will of God. Renew our mind daily to the authority and the will of God. Jesus put it this way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That's putting ourselves under the authority of God. God, I'm doing this for you. Understanding our calling is paramount here. I have to understand what God has called me to do and how God has called me to live. Jesus constantly did this with the disciples. And what we begin to see with the disciples, and it bears out even in our lives today, when we make our decisions based on wrong information, we behave inappropriately. So when we're not following what God's will is, when we're not following what God's word said that we're supposed to be doing, we're going to make bad decisions and we're going to behave inappropriately. We have to remind ourselves, renew our minds to who Jesus is. We have to renew our mind to the purpose that Jesus had when he was here. We have to renew our minds to the purpose that Jesus gave us as a church, is to make disciples. So we have to renew our minds, take up our cross daily to follow him, and renew our minds to who Jesus is and his purpose he's given to us. We find back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, and being ready to punish every disobedience when our obedience is complete." Wow. So we renew our minds, and then we take every thought, part of renewing that mind is taking every thought we have captive to the obedience of Christ. We have to keep our thought life in check. The strongholds that we read there, they were brought up about pretenses or arguments against or opposing the truth of the gospel, the truth of God. It's knowledge that sets itself up against God. So he says, every thought that comes, every direction of life that we think about, he says, you check that through what God's word has said and what God has told us to do. This is what was done with Adam and Eve in the garden, was it not? It's very basic. Satan told Adam and Eve, God really didn't say that. God really didn't mean that you would die. God didn't, he's hiding this from you. He was working in deception, obviously. See, if they would have held true to what they knew God had said, take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, they could have saved the world and us a lot of trouble. Our obedience is complete. It's fulfilled when we keep the mind to the commandments of God's ways. We understand God's will and we understand God's ways, and we follow that because he has told us in his word. We renew our minds to that every day, making thoughts captive to God. Peter talks about this as well. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he says, put your mind on the grace that you've experienced in Christ. We find in the book of Philippians, in the letter of Philippians, in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Notice verse 9, says, "And then what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Wow. Prepare your mind for action, he says. Trust in Jesus alone. What do? If I could just get this. You know, if this job would just come through. If my family would just do this. Or if these people would do this. If I could. No. 1,000 times no. It's about depending completely upon God. It's resting in the graces that he has given. And then he says, that's when the peace of God comes upon us. So we have to prepare the mind. And then we need to prepare the heart. Prepare the mind, prepare the heart. Who's your worst enemy? It's the person you see in the mirror every morning. It's a person we see every day. James had something to say about this. And James, in chapter 1, following verse 13, says, "Let no one say that when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot tempt with evil. And he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Did you catch that? We are enticed by what? Our internal desires. And when we live in those internal desires outside the boundaries of which God has said is appropriate to live by, that gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings death. Wow. You see, we have to renew that mind and take every thought captive. We have to keep our thought life in check. We have to check it to God's will. We have to check it to God's word. We have to check it to God's ways. See, when those decision times come, we have to look to God solely based upon the grace that he has given to us. You know, it's really startling to think that someone that could walk really close to God would get so duped by Satan. But it happens. And it happens every day. Judas was one of the first ones. Well, actually, it wasn't Adam and Eve were the first ones, but Judas is a big one. He walked with Jesus every day. Now get this. He saw Jesus do the same miracles that the other 11 apostles saw Jesus perform. He heard the same, very same lessons that the other 11 heard as well. So what made him different? He allowed the words of Satan to penetrate into his life, into his heart. The only way Satan gets into a heart is if we open the door for him. Because there's no handle on the outside. Every person controls the door to their heart, what they allow in and what they exclude. So Satan uses those internal desires that we have to get us to open the door and let him in. And once he's in, that's when he does his work to tear down and to lead the life astray and bring harm and destroy life. Samson, big spiritual, I mean, he was physically strong, but he had no moral fiber in him to withstand the fight that was on the inside, and it cost him dearly. Moses, great man, great leader. Scripture says there was no greater leader other than Jesus than Moses. Full of humility, but in a fit of rage, he failed. David, who is considered a man after God's own heart, for a few moments of passion, traded God away. Solomon, the wisest man next to Jesus that ever walked the face of the earth. Again, no moral integrity that he succumbed to the temptations that were around him. And he is the one that wrote in Proverbs, "Guard the heart above all else, for it is the wellspring of life." So we've got to renew our mind. We've got to protect it. We've got to protect our heart. And then we've got to protect our walk. Third thing. Protecting our walk has to do with we have to know what we're going to do before it happens. In other words, when it happens, we're acting upon instinct. We're not having to think through things. We know this is what we're supposed to do when temptation comes. It's to prepare ourselves to walk spiritually or to walk in the Spirit. You want to know how that works? Read back through chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 4 and 5, Paul began to lay out what it was to walk in the life of the Spirit. He says, the way that we walk in the life of the Spirit, you'll see this in the life of the church and the unity that the church experiences. If the church is walking in the life of the Spirit, there will be unity because they will be fulfilling the spiritual gifts that God has given them through the Spirit. And they'll be working in the areas which God has assigned them to work in a ministering grace. As we do this, we submit to one another. We submit under the authority of God. We submit under the authorities of the leaders within the life of the church. We submit to one another in our homes. We submit to one another in the workplace. We are submitting to one another in those loving relationships, showing how dependent we are upon God. That's how we're preparing our walk. David, our youngest, when he was little, we got him into Taekwondo classes. Taekwondo is a self-defense from South Korea. And his instructor, Master Tim, they would take them through movements and so forth, and they would practice them every day. They were to practice at home, and then they would test them later on and how they advanced up. And sometimes they would question him why they had to test so much or to practice these things so much. Well, he told them the story about two guys that were out one night. One guy was being trained and had been trained in Taekwondo. The other guy knew nothing. He was just didn't know anything about that type of fighting or defense. And they were out later than they should have been. They were in a part of the town that they really probably shouldn't have been in as well. And guys came out to jump them and rob them. Well, the guy that had been trained in Taekwondo and was being trained in Taekwondo, he got beat up. And the guy didn't know anything. He was the one that came to the fence. He got the fight off the other guys and finally got him and his partner to safety. And they go, why are we taking Taekwondo then? You know, that's what they want to know. He says, no, it's why you have to practice everything. He says, the guy that was studying Taekwondo, the reason he got beat up, he was too busy trying to think about what he needed to do. You have to know what you're going to do before it happens. You have to be prepared. When temptation comes, you already have to know what you're going to do, because then it's instinct and you're not having to think, well, I'm supposed to do this and I'm not supposed to do that. No, you already know because you've been prepared to do it. There's this great old song about Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Actually, it's fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. It's a cool little song, catchy little tune. Bad, terrible theology, though. So why is that? Because Joshua didn't fight the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. God did that. Joshua just did what God told him to do. 6 days, march around the city one time and go home. On the seventh day, you march around 7 times, blow the trumpets, and shout, and the walls will fall. And they did that, and the city was given to Joshua and the people because they did what God told them to do. They were prepared for what they were going to see and face. We have to fight in the strength of the Lord. That's the only way we're going to make it. And we do that by preparing our minds, preparing our hearts, and preparing our walk. Verse 11 gives us the second command. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's the second command. Put on the full armor of God. Notice it's the full armor. You've got to have every piece. Again, why do we have to do this? Because the battle is not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. The battle is not flesh and blood. It's not with people. It's spiritual. It's with Satan. Now, this word battle, it really means to wrestle. It means hand-to-hand combat. It's up close and personal. You don't get any more up close and personal than fighting in the mind and in the heart. That's pretty close. It has the idea of trickery and cunningness and craftiness, and that sounds just like Satan. This hand-to-hand stuff, he's going to trick you into thinking things aren't real. Growing up, I watched wrestling a lot. You know, the WWE stuff. Of course, it wasn't called that then. I got hooked on it with my grandmother. I'll tell you a little story about my grandmother. My grandmother, when up in years and she was bedridden, she'd want to watch television. But she didn't want to watch game shows like The Price is Right or Wheel of Fortune. You know, those things made her too nervous. She had to watch wrestling. Figure that one out, all right? So I come by it honestly. I pass it along to Amy. She watches wrestling too. She's in that stuff too. So we've come by it honestly here. But I was distraught at age 9, no, really 25, when I found out it was rigged. You know, it's just for show. That's what Satan does in fighting us. It's a show. It's not real. And this is why I tell you over and over and over again, reality or perception is not reality until you hear from God. Because what you perceive is what Satan wants you to perceive. What you're seeing at times is what Satan wants you to see. What you're feeling at times is what Satan's wanting you to feel at times. And that's not real until you hear from God, that you renew your mind, that you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because you've prepared the mind, you've prepared your heart, you've prepared your walk, because it's not real. See, this armor is to do what? It's to help us to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes is where we get our word for methodology, our methods or our plan. It's carried out in that craftiness or that cunning deceitfulness. See, we cannot afford to be ignorant about the battle plan. And oh yeah, Satan has a battle plan for each of us. You know, it's sad. Satan probably knows us better than we know ourselves at times, because he's going to use those baits and lures from our own internal desires. He uses those to lead us away from God. And see, for way too many of us, we fight the wrong battle in the wrong realm. The battle's not with people. The battle's not even within ourselves. It's with Satan. It's a battle for the mind. It's a battle for our heart. It's a battle for our behavior. Let me see if I can illustrate this a little differently. The tongue. Thing we use to communicate with. I dare say it's the thing that gets most of us in more trouble than we'd care to admit to. It's so big of a deal that when James is writing about temptations and how we fight in the life of the church, he spent an entire chapter in his letter talking about the tongue and how devastating it can be. So here's the thing. If Satan can get us to disrupt the life of the church, if he can get us to, again, talk about things that we don't need to be talking about or saying things that we shouldn't say to one another, if he can get us to talking about those things, if he can get us to sin, if he can disrupt the unity of the church, then the cause of Christ gets lost. And what happens when the cause of Christ gets lost? People die and go to hell. And if we're not careful, again, we get so consumed with our own little world and what's been happening to me, and this is the most important thing that happens, and people are dying and going to hell. And that's why Jesus came and he died on the cross, was to keep us out of hell, to get us into the presence of God. And that's what we need to be about. There's this professional hockey player. True story. He was known for his fights. And he spent a lot of time in the penalty box until one day his 8-year-old little girl asked him a very grown-up question. She asked him, "Daddy, how can you score goals if you're always in the penalty box? How can we make disciples if we're always fighting with each other? How can we win people to Jesus if we're constantly trying to fight and pick at each other?" I like what one pastor said. If you're too busy fishing, you're too busy to rock the boat. If you're too busy doing what God has called you to do, if you're too busy doing the things that God has empowered you to do through the gifting of your spirits, you're too busy to argue and complain about anything else. Satan wants to get us distracted. That's why we have to renew the mind. It's after we be prepared. Notice what he says in verse 13. Do all. Do everything you can to stand strong. Prepare your mind, prepare your heart, prepare the wall. Put on the armor of God. Stand firm in the Word of God. Stand firm against temptations. Stand in godliness. Because you're prepared. In his book, Fuzzy Memories, Jack Handy writes, "There used to be this bully in town when I was growing up as a kid. He said because he was bigger and threatening, he demanded my lunch money every day, and I gave it to him because I didn't want to get beat up. Until one day I'd had enough. And so I was going to learn to defend myself. So I went to find a karate instructor. He wanted $5 every lesson to teach me how to do karate. He said I learned that it was cheaper to pay the bully, so I quit going karate lessons and just paid the bully." Funny little story. What's sad is that's how we have done as believers. We feel like it's better off to just succumb to the enemy than to learn how to fight him off. Because it's much easier. We think we can be more comfortable if we just let it go. And I don't have to enter the battle. But what we don't realize is the enormous price we're really paying. People go to hell because we don't want to fight the enemy. We don't want to stand strong. We as believers, we live void of the grace of God. We as believers will live void of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We will not take steps of faith because it's easier to succumb to the effects of the enemy than to learn how to fight and stand strong against him. Remember Joseph, young guy in the Old Testament? His brothers disliked him so much that they sold him into slavery. God was really working in all those things, all through Joseph's life. And finally, when God had arranged for him to be with his brothers, he told his brothers these words: "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." Those are remarkable words. They may be some easy words. But oh, the struggle. 17 years. 17 years. Joseph lived away from his family. 17 years Joseph lived in slavery as a slave. He could have gotten lost in the anger. He could have gotten lost in seeking revenge. He could have had revenge. He was next in throne or next in power to Pharaoh. There was nobody greater than Joseph, than Pharaoh himself in the land. But Joseph held true to God and who God is and his purpose. So much so that God used Joseph to prepare the world for a famine. So that's what the remarkable part of the story. Is that when people from all over the world, because Egypt was the only people that had food, so people from all over the world would come to buy food from Egypt. Now, how did Egypt have enough food to supply for their own country as well as sell it to other people? Well, you see, the God of Joseph gave Pharaoh a dream and gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream that planned all these things out for the last 14 years and told him, here's how you are to be prepared when the famine comes. And so there was a message about God to the world. If we are prepared for the spiritual battle, we can give a message to the world of the grace of God and how He'll prepare them for life and eternity. We have to be prepared. So how are you faring in the battle so far? How are you faring in the battle? Did you know there's even a battle going on? Are you struggling? Do you need the strength of God to come? How are you faring in the battle? Do you need to find a resilience, a new dependency upon God through His Son Jesus, a recommitment to the mind of God, to renew the mind, to prepare the mind, to prepare the heart, to prepare your walk, recommitting to that. Recommitting to dependency upon God so that you can be released into life, a freedom of life, a freedom from the control of an enemy. And again, at this point, it doesn't matter if you're a believer or not believer, because the enemy's out to get you either way. Do you need the strength of God that only comes through His Son Jesus, through His death and resurrection? Let's pray together. God, we thank You. God, thank You for the hope and life that You bring to us because of Jesus. Because of the indwelling Spirit. And God, I pray on two fronts. God, I pray for those that need to know You first. God, that today would be the day that they would be freed from the control, the influence of the enemy. And they would find hope and life in You. Then God, I pray for those that are in the midst of a spiritual battle. For those that don't know what's going on. Those that they understand what's going on and they're fighting fiercely. God, I pray for strength and courage for both. But above all, God, I pray that they would look to You in complete dependence to win. To stand firm, stand strong, stand so in You, and know that Your grace is truly sufficient for all needs of our lives. So God, I pray over these next few moments while we sing. God, I pray that if it's time to renew a commitment, make a fresh commitment, to be strong, to be strengthened in You, we would seek You today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together and we sing. As you sing, you come as God's leading and prompting you. Can I get to bow in prayer just for a moment or so? I wonder how many would be willing to say, Pastor, I need your prayers because of the spiritual battle I know I'm facing. It could be something at home, it could be something at work, something in the neighborhood. Just, if you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I'll definitely do so. I'll pray for you here in just a moment. I mean, you know it's real. And God has given us tools to help us to be prepared. We just have to use them. God, again, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the life through Christ that we have and it's been promised. And God, for those that are facing the battle and they see it and it's real, and sometimes, God, we just get tired. It weighs heavy upon us. Sometimes we do need to hunker down behind that shield of faith and just hang on for a while. Because the battle's fierce at times. So God, I pray for courage and strength. God, I pray that you give the ability to stand and to stand firm, not to allow the enemy to gain any ground. No ground in life, no ground in mind, no ground in heart. We stand firm and strong. God, then as we go and as we live even this week and we share your grace, God, Satan's effects would be of little use. The treachery, the deceit that he uses would be of no avail because your grace is mighty and your grace is powerful and your grace consumes all things and it changes all things through Christ. And God, prepare that way by the Holy Spirit too. And God, as we continue in our commitment time and we give, God, that we give because, again, you instruct us to. We give because we love you. We give because, again, God, we want others to know the goodness of your love. So, God, bless while we give today. Stretch it beyond our imagination. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and amen. You can be seated. If you have a care card, I'll collect it. Amen. There is none like you, none like you, God, for sure. Let me get you to stand with me as we pray together. Next week, as we continue this through the spiritual battle, we're going to talk about the belt of truth that we have to have and put on. So that's where we're headed next week, all right? Let's pray together. God, again, we thank you so much for allowing us into your presence today. God, we thank you for what you began to do even as we woke up this morning, getting prepared physically maybe for worship, but also getting prepared for Bible study and worship in our mind and in our heart. Then, God, when we got here, what you taught us in Sunday school, what we've experienced in the time of worship and the songs that we've sung and the word that we've read and come alive to us. God, now let us go with that strength and that courage that this week that whatever comes our way, we can face it because we're prepared and we're going to continue to work to be prepared and that we're ready to stand firm. We're ready to share your grace with whoever you bring our way because we want them to know you. God, let us go in strength and power and truth, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Oh, sorry.